No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I am Jill, and today is the 23rd day of June. Is that right? Yes, it is. The 23rd day of June. Welcome, everyone. It's a joy to be here with you, and it is an honor to be reading the Word of God in this big, beautiful, global campfire community of people all around the world. We celebrate our differences. We celebrate our different beliefs and the fact that we can come together for one common cause, and that is to read the Word of God together, to know God through His Word, to allow God to speak for Himself. And so as we come today, I ask that we come open, we come willing to let go of maybe some preconceived ideas of what we thought the Word of God said, or what we thought the Word of God didn't say. We let go of who we have heard that God is, and what God hates, and who God hates, and what God loves, and who God loves, and we allow God to be God here in this space. We continue today in the book of 1 Kings, and we're going to read chapters 12 through 14 today. And this week, we're reading, I had the right translation, thought it was wrong, moved it to God's Word, no, just moved it back. We're reading the New International Version. 1 Kings chapter 12. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone there to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard this, he was still in Egypt, where he had fled from King Solomon. He returned from Egypt. So they sent for Jeroboam, and he and the whole assembly of Israel went to Rehoboam and said to him, "Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you." Rehoboam answered, "Go away for 3 days and then come back to me." So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. "How would you advise me to answer these people?" he asked. They replied, "If today you will be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants." But Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. He asked them, "What is your advice? How should we answer these people who say to me, 'Lighten the yoke your father put on us'?" The young men who had grown up with him replied, "These people have said to you, 'Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter.' Now tell them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions.'" 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to Rehoboam as the king had said, "Come back to me in 3 days." The king answered the people harshly, rejecting the advice given him by the elders. He followed the advice of the young men and said, "My father made your yoke heavy. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions." So the king did not listen to the people, for this turn of events was from the Lord, to fulfill the word the Lord had spoken to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through Ahijah the Shilonite. When all Israel saw that the king refused to listen to them, they answered the king, "What share do we have in David? What part in Jesse's son? To your tents, Israel. Look after your own house, David." So the Israelites went home. But as for the Israelites who were living in the towns of Judah, Rehoboam still ruled over them. King Rehoboam sent out Adoniram, who was in charge of forced labor, but all Israel stoned him to death. King Rehoboam, however, managed to get into his chariot and escape to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. When all the Israelites heard that Jeroboam had returned, they sent and called him to the assembly and made him king over all Israel. Only the tribe of Judah remained loyal to the house of David. When Rehoboam arrived in Jerusalem, he mustered all Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 able young men, to go to war against Israel and to regain the kingdom for Rehoboam, son of Solomon. But this word of God came to Shemaiah, the man of God. Say to Rehoboam, son of Solomon, king of Judah, to all Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, this is what the Lord says. Do not go up to fight against your brothers, the Israelites. Go home, every one of you, for this is my doing. So they obeyed the word of the Lord and went home again as the Lord had ordered. Then Jeroboam fortified Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there. From there he went out and built up Peniel. Jeroboam thought to himself, the kingdom will now likely revert to the house of David. If these people go up to offer sacrifices at the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem, they will again give their allegiance to their lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah. They will kill me and return to King Rehoboam. After seeking advice, the king made two golden calves. He said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. One he set up in Bethel, and the other in Dan. And this thing became a sin. The people came to worship the one at Bethel and went as far as Dan to worship the other. Jeroboam built shrines on high places and appointed priests from all sorts of people, even though they were not Levites. He instituted a festival on the 13th day of the 8th month, like the festival held in Judah, and offered sacrifices on the altar. This he did in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves he had made. And at Bethel he also installed priests at the high places he had made. On the 15th day of the 8th month, a month of his own choosing, he offered sacrifices on the altar he had built at Bethel. So he instituted the festival for the Israelites and went up to the altar to make offerings. By the word of the Lord, a man of God came from Judah to Bethel, as Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make an offering. By the word of the Lord, he cried out against the altar, altar, altar. This is what the Lord says. A son named Josiah will be born to the house of David. On you, he will sacrifice the priests of the high places who make offerings here, and human bones will be burned on you. That same day, the man of God gave a sign. This is the sign the Lord has declared. The altar will be split apart and the ashes on it will be poured out. When King Jeroboam heard what the man of God cried out against the altar at Bethel, he stretched out his hand from the altar and said, seize him. But the hand he stretched out toward the man shriveled up so that he could not pull it back. Also, the altar was split apart and its ashes poured out according to the sign given by the man of God, by the word of the Lord. Then the king said to the man of God, intercede with the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand may be restored. So the man of God interceded with the Lord and the king's hand was restored and became as it was before. The king said to the man of God, come home with me for a meal and I will give you a gift. But the man of God answered the king, even if you were to give me half your possessions, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread or drink water here. For I was commanded by the word of the Lord, you must not eat bread or drink water or return by the way you came. So he took another road and did not return by the way he had come to Bethel. Now there was a certain old prophet living in Bethel, whose sons came and told him all that the man of God had done there that day. They also told their father what he had said to the king. Their father asked them, "Which way did he go?" And his son showed him which road the man of God from Judah had taken. So he said to his sons, "Saddle the donkey for me." And when they had saddled the donkey for him, he mounted it and rode after the man of God. He found him sitting under an oak tree and asked, "Are you the man of God who came from Judah?" "I am," he replied. So the prophet said to him, "Come home with me and eat." The man of God said, "I cannot turn back and go with you, nor can I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. I have been told by the word of the Lord, you must not eat bread or drink water there, or return by the way you came." The old prophet answered, "I too am a prophet, as you are. And an angel said to me by the word of the Lord, bring him back with you to your house, so that he may eat bread and drink water." But he was lying to him. So the man of God returned with him and ate and drank in his house. While they were sitting at the table, the word of the Lord came to the old prophet who had brought him back. He cried out to the man of God who had come from Judah, "This is what the Lord says. You have defied the word of the Lord and have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. You came back and ate bread and drank water in the place where he told you not to eat or drink. Therefore, your body will not be buried in the tomb of your ancestors." When the man of God had finished eating and drinking, the prophet who had brought him back saddled his donkey for him. As he went on his way, a lion met him on the road and killed him, and his body was left lying on the road with both the donkey and the lion standing beside it. Some people who passed by saw the body lying there, with the lion standing beside the body, and they went and reported it in the city where the old prophet lived. When the prophet who had brought him back from his journey heard of it, he said, "It is the man of God who defied the word of the Lord. The Lord has given him over to the lion, which has mauled him and killed him, as the word of the Lord had warned him." The prophet said to his sons, "Saddle the donkey for me." And they did so. Then he went out and found the body lying on the road with the donkey and the lion standing beside it. The lion had neither eaten the body nor mauled the donkey. So the prophet picked up the body of the man of God, laid it on the donkey, and brought it back to his own city to mourn for him and bury him. Then he laid the body in his own tomb, and they mourned over him and said, "Alas, my brother." After burying him, he said to his sons, "When I die, bury me in the grave where the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones." For the message he declared by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the shrines on the high places in the towns of Samaria will certainly come true. Even after this, Jeroboam did not change his evil ways, but once more appointed priests for the high places from all sorts of people. Anyone who wanted to become a priest, he consecrated for the high places. This was the sin of the house of Jeroboam that led to its downfall and to its destruction from the face of the earth. At that time, Abijah, son of Jeroboam, became ill, and Jeroboam said to his wife, "Go, disguise yourself, so you won't be recognized as the wife of Jeroboam. Then go to Shiloh. Ahijah the prophet is there, the one who told me I would be king over this people. Take 10 loaves of bread with you, some cakes, and a jar of honey, and go to him. He will tell you what will happen to the boy." So Jeroboam's wife did what he said and went to Ahijah's house in Shiloh. Now Ahijah could not see. His sight was gone because of his age. But the Lord said to Ahijah, "Jeroboam's wife is coming to ask you about her son, for he is ill, and you are to give her such and such an answer. When she arrives, she will pretend to be someone else." So when Ahijah heard the sound of her footsteps at the door, he said, "Come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why this pretense? I have been sent to you with bad news." Go, tell Jeroboam that this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I raised you up from among the people and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you, but you have not been like my servant David, who kept my commands and followed me with all his heart, doing only what was right in my eyes. You have done more evil than all who lived before you. You have made for yourself other gods, idols made of metal. You have aroused my anger and turned your back on me. Because of this, I'm going to bring disaster on the house of Jeroboam. I will cut off from Jeroboam every last male in Israel, slave or free. I will burn up the house of Jeroboam as one burns dung until it is all gone. Dogs will eat those belonging to Jeroboam who die in the city, and the birds will feed on those who die in the country. The Lord has spoken. As for you, go back home. When you set foot in your city, the boy will die. All Israel will mourn for him and bury him. He is the only one belonging to Jeroboam who will be buried, because he is the only one in the house of Jeroboam in whom the Lord, the God of Israel, has found anything good. The Lord will raise up for himself a king over Israel who will cut off the family of Jeroboam. Even now, this is beginning to happen. And the Lord will strike Israel so that it will be like a reed swaying in the water. He will uproot Israel from this good land that he gave to their ancestors and scatter them beyond the Euphrates River, because they aroused the Lord's anger by making Asherah poles. And he will give Israel up because of the sins Jeroboam has committed and has caused Israel to commit. Then Jeroboam's wife got up and left and went to Tirzah. As soon as she stepped over the threshold of the house, the boy died. They buried him, and all Israel mourned for him, as the Lord had said through his servant, the prophet Ahijah. The other events of Jeroboam's reign, his wars, and how he ruled are written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel. He reigned for 22 years and then rested with his ancestors. And Nadab, his son, succeeded him as king. Rehoboam, son of Solomon, was king in Judah. He was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel in which he put his name. His mother's name was Naamah. She was an Ammonite. Judah did evil in the eyes of the Lord. By the sins they committed, they stirred up his jealous anger more than those who were before them had done. They also set up for themselves high places, sacred stones, and Asherah poles on every high hill and under every spreading tree. There were even male shrine prostitutes in the land. The people engaged in all the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. In the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem. He carried off the treasures of the temple of the Lord and the treasures of the royal palace. He took everything, including all the gold shields Solomon had made. So King Rehoboam made bronze shields to replace them and assigned these to the commanders of the guard on duty at the entrance to the royal palace. Whenever the king went to the Lord's temple, the guards bore the shields, and afterward they returned them to the guard room. As for the other events of Rehoboam's reign and all he did, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Judah? There was continual warfare between Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and Rehoboam rested with his ancestors and was buried with them in the city of David. His mother's name was Naamah. She was an Ammonite. And Abijah, his son, succeeded him as king. Okay, I realize that was a lot of words, and there's not just a lot of words, there's a lot of detail. We have to make sure that we understand what is happening here today, and that also means that we have to pick up over the last few days with what we've read. Try to do this real quick. We have King Solomon, the son of King David, and the mother of Bathsheba, who has been king over all of Israel. He was the wisest king. He brought Israel into the pinnacle and the height of the promise of what God promised all the way back to Abraham. Let's not forget, the people broke their covenant with God many times along the way, but God kept his word. Leaders went to God on behalf of the people, please forgive them, show them mercy, and God did. They got what they did not deserve because they could not stay in covenant with God and keep their promise, keep their faithfulness to God. The covenant was, if they will be God's people, God will be their God, and he will give them, show them the land flowing with milk and honey. Their children and their children's children will be as numerous as the stars, as numerous as the grains of sand. We have this fulfillment under the leadership of King Solomon, a wise king, wealthy king. He builds the first temple of worship in the city of David, in Jerusalem. And then he does what God has warned all along. He marries and he intermarries a lot of women. Now we have to remember, God is not prejudiced. It's not his preference and bias. It is the fact that he knows these women, these people on the outskirts, worship other gods. And this is what happens as Solomon marries all of these women. He doesn't remain the leader that's like, nope, this is the God we will worship. He adapts their lifestyle and he builds them their altars to worship their gods. And the Lord is not pleased. And from our reading the other day, so Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely as David, his father, had done. And because of this, God pulls the kingdom, this empire, this pinnacle of the height of the success, if you will, of Israel. He's going to tear it out of the hands of his son. This is a very big piece of the story. Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 sons of Jacob, have been one nation of Israel. Starting now, Israel will be divided, a north and a south, and the 10 tribes will be Israel, and the tribes of Benjamin and Judah will be Judah. They will be separate nations from here on out. Solomon has an overseer of the workforce named Jeroboam. A prophet, Ahijah, sees Jeroboam and prophesies to him that God is going to tear away the 10 tribes from Solomon and give them to Jeroboam. Solomon then tries to kill Jeroboam, but he flees to Egypt and he stays there until Solomon dies. Now, Solomon has a son named Rehoboam. Rehoboam and Jeroboam are not related in any way. It can get a little confusing if we don't pay attention. I mean, there are so many details. Okay, Rehoboam, Solomon's son, goes to Shechem to become king. Jeroboam leaves Egypt as the people send for him to go to Rehoboam and ask him, basically, have mercy. Your father was hard on us. We have worked hard. Lighten our load. Make it easier. Rehoboam consults with his father's elders, the ones who know the wisdom of Solomon. What would you tell me to do? He asks them. They reply, if today you'll be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants. If you do what they ask, they'll be true to you. Rehoboam rejects the advice of his father's counsel. And he goes to the young men that he grew up with. Let's just call it safe to say that they grew up with a silver spoon in their mouth, a bit entitled, probably very used to not having to work too hard. And their advice is essentially, they already work for you. They've asked something of you, now make it harder for them. The 10 tribes then unite and they turn on Rehoboam, but not until they know that they are going to stay in this together. King Rehoboam sends out Adoniram, who is in charge of the forced labor. He is now who Jeroboam was, but Israel kills him. Rehoboam flees to Jerusalem. The people then make Jeroboam their king. They already had this rapport with him as he oversaw them as the workforce. Only the tribe of Judah remained loyal to Rehoboam. Everyone else has turned under the leadership of Jeroboam. Rehoboam is going to declare war against the other 10 tribes that is now its own nation. But Shemaiah, a man of God, hears from God, do not go to war with your brothers. Go home. And so they obey. This time they go home. And just when we think Jeroboam might save the nation of Israel, the 10 tribes, without consulting God, mind you, he thinks through what has just happened. The kingdom will now likely revert to the house of David. If they have to come sacrifice at the temple in Jerusalem, they'll eventually give their allegiance back to Rehoboam, and then they're going to kill me and return to Rehoboam. And so he compromises as a leader of a nation that worships God and places 2 golden calves, 2 altars for them to worship by making it easier for them. They can go to one in Bethel and the other in Dan. They don't have to come all the way to Jerusalem, because if they do that, they'll eventually turn their back. I'm going to step in and intercept them coming to worship in Jerusalem. He then takes it upon himself to change the festivals of worship. He starts ordaining anyone that wants to be a priest. And just like that, it is gone. I know this is so much. We are still just trying to get to the really good part. A man from Judah comes, prophesies. Jeroboam then knows that God has sent him. Get into the really important part of this story. This man sent from Judah, a prophet from God, but God tells him, go in, say what I tell you to say, and get out. Don't eat, don't drink, don't go to anyone's house. Say the words to Jeroboam and go back home. Jeroboam receives the words from him as the altar splits, the ashes fall out, where they have worshiped false gods. He invites him to come home and have a meal, and the man is emphatic. I can't. I can't have bread. I can't have water. I'm commanded by the Lord to go home. And then there's this old prophet living in Bethel. And his sons come and tell him what has happened. We don't even know this older prophet's name, which I find so interesting in the Bible. These prophets are not well known. They don't even have a name in the Bible. But they are prophets from God. So there's one from Judah who we don't know his name, and there's an older one whose sons told him what had happened, and he goes and finds the prophet from Judah, and he invites him home. And the man of God from Judah says, I cannot turn back and go with you. I can't eat bread or water with you in this place. I've been told by the word of the Lord, you must not eat bread or drink water or go out by the way that you came, go a different way. And the old prophet answers him, I too am a prophet as you are. And an angel said to me by the word of the Lord, bring him back with you to your house so that he may eat bread and drink water. But he was deceiving him. This is where it comes down to today. This is so important. There was a serpent in the garden at the beginning of this entire journey of the Bible on the first day who deceived by using God, by suggesting that if Eve ate from the fruit and disobeyed God, she would not die. Do we see the parallel? Deception comes in all shapes and forms and sizes and ages and former used to be's and never was, but I'm going to use God. And then it will seem as if someone comes to us and declares that they are the voice of God and they have something to share with us. God said, this is okay. God said, this is what you should do. It is so important that we know it to be true for our own selves. If God said this to you for me, that's wonderful. As soon as God reveals this to me, I can be on board with that. And on the other end of such words, can we be so careful that we do not use God as a means to deliver words that come from us? Sometimes we don't have the courage or the security in our own selves to say, hey, there's really something I'd like to talk to you about that's bothering me. Instead, we have to use God. And people who do not know better will buy into this and hold on to that word and wait for God and wait for God and wait for God to come through and be so disappointed with him when he doesn't. But it's because God never spoke it in the first place. We speak on our own accord. We see this at the very beginning of hearing about false prophets and false prophecy. If they speak a word and it does not come true, then they spoke in their own accord. We have been speaking in our own accord for God for centuries. We have been proclaiming the return of Christ, the setup of his return, and the key players. We've been putting them in place for years, but what happens when the words that we speak do not come true because we spoke on our own accord? Rarely does anyone come out and say, I was wrong. God did not speak that to me. We slough it off. We move on. And God has changed his mind because there's a new key player. There's a new person for us to watch, and we do not see the hurt. We do not weigh and consider the outcomes of speaking for God in our own accord. Jesus, may we do better than this. Help us. That is my prayer today. Help us. Help us to know when to speak for you and to know the words to say that I believe this may be God but I may also have it wrong, and I ask that you pray and you consider these words, and if they ring true, then do whatever it is that you want, because we are leading people into destruction with our own words, but by blaming you, God. Help us to consider the weight of responsibility that we carry with our words and with our words on behalf of you. I pray this all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hi, my beloved Dabsy fam. It's Asia calling in from the City of Angels. June 16th, I was listening to the episode, and we heard one creative child from Texas calling, give us an update that deeply saddened our hearts to hear that her mother, Mildred, had passed on May 28th. And she's going to be being prepared for a burial funeral service on Friday the 13th of June. And so we come alongside this family that's grieving and lift them up to the Lord. Heavenly Father, hallowed be your beautiful, beautiful name. You are the Ancient of Days. You are El Shaddai, our Almighty God. Lord, everything in the heavens and on earth is yours and under your control, Father God, and under you, Lord God. Father, as your creation, Father, we lift our heads to you and we know where our help comes from. Where does it come from? It comes from the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth. So, Father, as we look to the hills, as we look upwards, knowing where we're going, Father God, because of you, because of Jesus Christ, because of our salvation, we lift up Mildred's family to you, one creative child, and the whole family, especially her husband that is still on this earth. And Lord, he feels ready to depart since he lost his partner. And we just pray, Father, you strengthen him in this time. You strengthen this whole family, that they come around him, that they come around one another. And this bond that you've created in them as family through Christ Jesus, Lord, that you will just strengthen it and renew it. And you will refresh them, Lord God. And they will taste and see that the Lord is good. And it's good to be in the land of the living. And we just pray all of this and that her father just continues to find new joy even in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, DABC family. This is Steadfast in Hope calling from England. Today is the 18th of June, and I would like to pray for a lady who was on the prayer line this morning, and she asked for prayer for her family. She didn't give her name, but she said that she would like her family to be drawn together, that following her divorce and the death of her son, that they haven't been walking together. And so, my sister, I would like to pray for you, and I'd like you to know that we are all praying for you. So I lift your family to the Lord this morning. I thank you, God, that nothing is impossible for you to do. And so I pray that this family will be drawn to you, Lord, both individually and collectively. May those who do not know you be drawn to you, and may those who do know you, Lord, have an overwhelming desire to draw nearer and nearer to you. And as people draw near to you, Lord, may they draw near to one another. I pray, Father, that you will restore and reconcile this family in the matchless name of Jesus. Thank you, God. You are the creator of heaven and earth. Nothing is too hard for you to do. And so we pray for victory over disunity in this family, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that we will see and hear the wonderful and marvelous things you will do in this family for the glory of your name. Amen.
Hey, Dipsy fam. It's Carrie, a.k.a. Jesus Girl. First, Nicole, a.k.a. Creative Child in Texas, I just want to offer up my sincerest condolences for the heartbreak of losing your mom. And then now the concern that your dad's just going to go ahead and give up since he was only waiting on her to begin with. So, Lord, I come to you right now and I just ask God for your peace and your comfort and your strength and your courage to surround Nicole, surround her dad, surround their family, Any and everyone that's feeling the loss of Mildred in their life, Lord, I ask that you lift them up. Those that don't know you, I ask that you use this time to draw them to you. May there be discussions about, you know, what goes on after life and the need to serve you, Jesus, in order to spend eternity with you. Lord, I ask that you give her dad a heart that wants to continue living. And at 91, he's put in a good life. And yet, Lord, he could have several more years to be there for Nicole and, you know, not put her through the heartache of losing two parents within a very short period of time. So, God, I just ask that you uplift, that you wrap your arms around, and that you just let them know that you are there and you are our comforter. And we give you thanks and honor and glory and praise. And in your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. Y'all be blessed. Bye.